up. Salvation has been brought down.
Brother Tony's lesson, Drink Ye All of It, coming from Matthew 26, 27 through 28. And again, Matthew 26, 27 through 28. I meant 27 through 28. And it reads, And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Good afternoon. Praise God on this afternoon. Why? Because He's worthy to be praised. We are encouraged by those who come back this afternoon to continue to worship God. Thankful to those who stayed around for the fellowship, the youth fellowship that we had. It's important. And some people may be too young, but to all those who are over 12, you realize that all fellowships are not godly. So we thank God for the fellowship that we had and for our godly young brothers and sisters. Also, we want to thank Brother Cooper for extending his lesson on this morning, encouraging us to strive to run the Christian race with temperance or with patience. So let's get right to it. We live in a world that is comfortable in reveling in sin, full of individuals obsessed with doing things or everything their own way, even in the church. Question, is this normal? Or can we just do a little wrong as long as we do a little right? I believe the plight of humanity as a whole is that we search and search, but never fully realize what or who we are meant to be. See, it's not for lack of effort. Men and women, boys and girls, they're looking, but as they say, we're all looking in the wrong places. Genesis chapter 3 gives us a glimpse or a clue of who we as human beings are really meant to be. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. And while you're turning, I don't intend to keep you long this afternoon. I even tried to take a few things out of this lesson. I spoke to my wife. She said, oh, no, keep it in there. It sounds great. So she'll be here after service if you want to speak to her. But we will continue. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 8 through verse 10. Verses 8 through 10. And they heard the voice of the Lord, they, even Adam. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, we notice a lot in these few verses, but two things of focus. One, God, in some form, shape, or fashion, walked in the garden. Now, where were Eve and Adam at this point in time? In the garden. Moreover, too, God spoke to man directly. Man heard God clearly and was able to respond. Human beings were made to have a close relationship with the Creator of the universe, to walk and to talk directly with God. Also, notice the conditions in which men and women were meant to live in. Before sin entered into the world, the environment was nice enough to walk around naked. And you didn't even freeze or even catch a cold. The point is, we were meant to live in optimal conditions, talking with God directly, no pain and no worry. So then, where are we at today? Why are we not all indulging in the pleasures of sin? What sets the Church of Christ apart from everyone else? One word, faith. It all boils down to belief. We as Christians believe that this book, God's book, has the words sent down from heaven. People have tried to disprove or discredit the oldest and most accurate historical record of mankind ever written, but have yet to do so or find fault in it. And that brings us to our lesson at hand. Drink ye all of it. We want to thank Brother Kamar for reading our scripture from Matthew chapter 26. And again, we want to look at those two verses, verses 27 and 28. We should already be there. Or come over to Matthew, first book in the New Testament. 26, verses 27 and 28. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, to all those that believe the Bible is the sent down word of God, this lesson is designed for you. And if you don't share in that faith, however, you have a great opportunity this afternoon to sit and listen. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The faith that God requires of all people can only be gained through the hearing and reading of his holy word. Therefore, when we read these two verses in Matthew, I believe we understand the who. We understand who God is talking to, but get lost when attempting to understand and obey the what. Jesus says the who is everybody. Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. It seems like everyone wants to be covered with the blood of Jesus, but cannot bring him or herself to drink Jesus' blood. Put in your notes John 6, verse 44 through 58, if you're taking notes. Since Christ shed his blood for the whole world, it just makes good sense that we all should be partakers of that blood. Again, the who is everyone, but the what is where we get confused. Turn to John chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. John chapter 6. We want to look at one verse, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, this is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, the words I speak, they're spirit and they are life. If one desires eternal life, they need to believe in Jesus and the things that he said and set forth. Not only that, but turn with me also to Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 6. We're going to look at verses starting at verse 46. Again, Jesus Christ makes a declaration. He says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Also put in your notes John chapter 15 and verse 14. Obedience. Obedience is what Jesus requires as a result of faith. Obedient to what is the question? Obedient to what? Come back to our main text in Matthew. Matthew 26. Obedient to what? Now we're going to focus on verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament. Christ wants all those that believe in him to be participants and willing partakers in the New Testament. That is serious business. This is what the Lord Jesus commands. Drink ye all of it. Emphasis on all, emphasis on it. However, the all we realize is easy. That's we, you and I. But the it, however, is the New Testament. This command to drink is paramount to each and every one of our salvations. In fact, the statement that Jesus makes is the barrier that stands between God and us, between hell and heaven. Very simple concept, but still individuals try to serve God their own way. As long as we think God is pleased, we move right along, saying that we love Jesus, irrespective of the reading of the Testament. You know, when men write a testament, we have no problem understanding and upholding that testament to a T. Someone dies, leaves various individuals, specific denominations, down to the penny, and everyone gets their money. In addition, if it doesn't go down as written, we'll go before a judge and make sure the testament is executed as written, all over money. If we can go to such lengths to ensure a man's will is executed precisely, why can we not do the same in regards to the will of Jesus, the Savior of the world? A man even asked Jesus, "Speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus, he responds to this man. He says, "Man, who made me a judge or divider over you?" He wanted his money, what the man wanted. He wanted his money. Jesus said, "Who made me a judge or divider over you?" Basically, Jesus says, in essence, man, your focus is in the wrong place. When we deal with the New Testament, eternal life hangs in the balance, not a car or money or a house. We're talking about receiving a life forever with God or forever separated from God, according to the testament of his Son. Not only do people not uphold the testament of Christ, but also every few months, it seems someone is trying to revise or change the New Testament. Can a man's will be changed after he's dead? Put in your notes Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 through 18. If you cannot change a man's will after his death, then many people are not doing the will of Jesus the Christ. In too many instances, we cherry pick with God, choosing and deciding which parts of the New Testament are serious commandments and which parts are more or less summarily guidelines. I want instruments in God's worship. Well, doesn't the Testament say to sing and to make the melody in our hearts? Ephesians 5:19. On the other hand, maybe the problem is we think this is our worship service and not God's. I want my mother to preach on in church on Sunday. She's a great public speaker. Well, what about the New Testament reading that says it is a shame for women to speak in the churches? Put in your notes 1 Corinthians 14:34-35 and 1 Timothy 2:11-14. If you are a believer in Jesus, you must honor his testament. Jesus said, "We are his friends if we do what he commands." Maybe you're a member of the body, but you also cherry pick. "I give as I prosper, but I don't necessarily have to love all my brethren." And people will quote the verse, work out your own salvation, and totally miss the point. That verse only means you can't blame anyone else if you don't make it to heaven. In no way does it absolve any of us from doing what we can to help and assist a fellow saint in winning this race. Put in your notes, John chapter 13, verse 35. And I want to give y'all one more verse. Now, this wasn't part of my lesson, but I was encouraged by a young man on this morning. And if you missed the scripture reading on this morning, here's your second chance. And if you weren't paying attention, you just listen up. This verse is very powerful, and it touched me right when I heard it. And I don't know if everybody caught it, but Philippians chapter 2. Kumail, if you have it. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 1.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one of mind.
Take your time.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but man also on the things of others. Yes. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, though it not robbery, it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and look upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, be humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Thank you, brother. Last verse. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And who is our example? Our greatest example is Jesus the Christ. There is much more to say, or that I could say, but I hope we get the point. We ought to believe and obey the New Testament scriptures, and no one is exempt. Drink ye all of it. In addition, remember this covenant or testament was established by the blood of a man who suffered and bled on a tree for the sins of everyone, even the liars, adulterers, murderers, and thieves. If you believe this message and have not become a member of the church established by Christ's testament, the only church you can read in his testament, you can do so this afternoon. The Church of Christ is governed by only one thing. That is the testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, in order to come to him, you must hear and learn of him. John 6:45. You must believe what you have heard, that Jesus did die for your sins. Hebrews 11:6. You must repent of your past life of sin and be willing to do things God's way and stop doing things your way. Luke 13:3 and verse 5. You must confess the sweetest name on mortal tongue, that is Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. And you must be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of all your past sins. Acts 2:38. And also 1 Peter 3:21. And upon completion of that step, God will do three things for you. He will forgive you of all your past sins, like he said he would. He will give you his Holy Spirit to indwell your heart, empowering you to live a holy and righteous life. And he will add you to that family, the family you can read about in Christ's testament, the Church of Christ. If you desire to give your life to Jesus Christ this afternoon, you can come. Or if you just desire the prayers of the saints, you may come as well to the front row as we together stand and sing a song of invitation.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us take.